You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
This is Devin Leary, and I'm just grateful that we are making progress on this 27-page document of notes we had on Love is Blind. I never was in a position to write a college thesis, but I think this is my college thesis.
You know, when you were writing essays in college and high school and you made the margins huge, you did double space, 2.5 space, you did your font just a size 14, hope nobody notices. You put your title up front, maybe edge a couple paragraphs down. And when you're on a 4-page essay, you look at the 3¾ and think, I think we could all call this 4 pages, and you turn it in.
That's the opposite of the problem we
had here. Opposite of this.
That's the total polar opposite of this.
Devin, you just said you watched an incredible movie recently.
Yeah. So this was a good week. You know, I check my streaming platforms every Thursday, Friday. That's when a lot of stuff comes out. And, you know, I constantly have TV or something on in the background. Can't be alone with my own thoughts. That's part of my personality. So I see that something I've been waiting for an extremely long time has surfaced, to use a relevant word. And that is the film Deepwater. Now, I know it sounds like a parody film name. Like, the name of the movie, Deepwater, sounds like what they would call the movie in an SNL sketch about deep water.
It reminds me of the movie Deep Blue Sea, which is about sharks getting smarter with Alzheimer's drugs and attacking people at a research facility, which I've seen upwards of 5 times, but continue.
Okay, but like, that makes sense for that movie because it's like a D-level movie. This is like disguising itself as like a BC-level erotic thriller, and it's calling itself Deepwater, which is just like interesting. So this is the movie that brought Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas together, and so it really was something that gave us a gift during the initial phases of quarantine when we had nothing else to look forward to besides a new photo of Ben and Anna walking down the street with their dogs. Despite that, there was absolutely zero physical chemistry between the two of them on screen, and that is mostly due to Ben Affleck's Botox and filler. His face is incapable of movement, and so yeah, I was really like excited for some hot, really sparks flying sex scenes, because this is the director of Unfaithful. So you would think that,
I know that
we would have, you know, a lot of good stuff. And there was a lot of sex. There was only one party showing emotion or feeling. So that was the difficulty. So let me sum up this film to you in under 5 minutes. Ben Affleck is in an open marriage with Ana de Armas. She proceeds to engage in every single stereotype of like the crazy younger wife that's ever existed. He says on their first date, she ordered the mac and cheese, and that's what made him fall in love with her. She gets wasted at parties. She starts playing the piano for no reason and singing. It's like the Zooby Zoo from Mad Men, where like that girl just sings a song. It's like that, but she's like has her dress half falling off. Her hair is always like askew and messy. Like she looks like she always just had sex. Her only personality is wanting men. And so it's like a series of shots of her looking beautiful and him watching her. And right from the beginning, the men she's sleeping with start to die. And right from the beginning, it's pretty obvious that Ben Affleck is who's killing them, spoiler alert, because he constantly, quote, makes jokes. I think Jarrett could relate to this type of joking where he says he killed the people and then he says, just kidding. The energy that these grown people have. So like they are part of a community of adults who are middle-aged, who are constantly going to a party every single night. That's what I find confusing. First of all, how does Ana de Armas have the energy to have a husband and be engaged in like constant toxic fights with him while also hooking up with multiple guys on the side and like falling in love with them and like getting them jobs and stuff? And then she's also taking piano lessons, which how does she have time for that? And she's a mom, even though she doesn't care at all about her child and makes that very clear and just yells at her to like turn the music down.
Oh, no. This is my only red flag. I'm like, oh no, she's a bad mom.
No, Carolina, the dog and child care in this movie is horrendous. At one point, the girl is 4 years old, the little girl. I mean, maybe younger. And at one point, they give her a glass of wine. They're like, we're celebrating, like have some wine. And they're celebrating because Ben Affleck just killed one of her lovers. Like, it makes no sense. They adopt a dog for no reason, adds nothing to the story, but then they pay zero attention to the dog. So no one cares about the dog. I was like, wait, when was this decided that they had to have a dog? But mainly, like, how do these people have this energy? They're having these crazy parties, I guess, because it moves the plot forward, because it provides another opportunity for Ana de Armas to, like, look really sexy while she's at a party and drinking and dancing around with no shoes on. But it just makes no sense. Like, I am already so tired if I have to go out to dinner past 8 p.m. And, like, it's hard to imagine at Ben Affleck's age that I will be, like, raging. So, yeah, that's basically the movie. And then in the end, he is, like, there's starting to be more chemistry between him and Ana de Armas. Like, she starts publicly trying to give him a hand job and then stopping. That's the other thing, too. Like, there's a lot of, like, them starting to like finger each other or go down on each other and then stopping, which seems like really sexually frustrating.
Edging. It's edging, babe.
Like, I don't know why they're doing that. It's like really weird. But then also they'll do it like in front of the kid and be like, she can't see us. And then at one point the kid runs up to like a river and is about to fall in. And Ana de Armas goes, she's fine. Like, forget about it. It's like, wait, why don't you care at all? Like, someone please help. Someone please step in and save this dog and this child from, like, this horrible situation. Also, someone please help whoever decided that in a movie set in New Orleans that Jacob Elordi would play a jazz pianist.
Wow. And
be so bad at piano. It's so funny because they build it up. They build it up that she's getting piano lessons and, like, Ben Affleck goes to, like, watch her. I'm also like, could he, like, have another hobby or something? Like, why does he have so much? I guess he's retired and that's why he has like so much time to go watch her lovers and like stalk them. So he goes to watch Jacob Elordi play piano because he's the piano teacher, and the piano playing is literally me as a kid like slamming my hands on like the school music room piano. It's very confusing. In the end, Ana de Armas is like, I'm going to choose like my husband. And she like burns all the evidence that he killed anyone. And they just like go on to live a happy life. And that was that. Are there middle-aged people out there having parties every night?
No. I mean, I guess if they're like, no, there's not. And I'm saying that frustrated because I don't want to go to three parties every night. And the funny part is, Devin, like, remember when we were young and we were like party monsters? I would have gone to a party every single day had I had the opportunity.
Right.
I cannot imagine, like, one Friday night outing can take me, like, a week to regain energy from. Do I have celiacs?
Maybe. 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 Ben Affleck has celiac, and that's why he doesn't emote anything, because he's so tired. No. I don't know.
It's like the situation from Jersey Shore, who's also puffed his face up quite a bit.
I do like to imagine like J-Lo watching this, because like Ana de Armas is so hot. By the way, her performance is good. It's just not her fault that the writing is horrendous and they made her so stereotypical. It's like disgusting and shocking. But I do love thinking about J-Lo watching this movie, because it's like, to have to imagine the person you're dating making out with someone that hot.
Their ex?
Even when you're J-Lo, that must be hard. Yes. Even when you're J-Lo.
Of course.
So that's where I'm at. Also, I'm sick of movies where the guy is like, my crazy wife doesn't take care of our daughter, so I have to. Like, that doesn't happen.
I haven't been loving portrayals of women in movies for most of them, but especially this year. Like, I watched Licorice Pizza, the new P.T. Anderson movie.
I liked it.
I liked it too, but I did not like the female character. Cooper Hoffman is amazing. He's very gifted. He was so charming. I liked the concept. I loved all the actors are insanely talented. It was her, and she was great, I thought. I thought her character was just like this crazy teen girl who likes this attention from a young guy, but she was so overly sexualized in a way that I don't think you necessarily feel all the time at that age.
Yeah.
They were missing me at some points. And I've only heard amazing things about The Lost Daughter, the Maggie Gyllenhaal movie.
Oh, so I love that movie.
Of course. I couldn't.
Wait, why?
I was just halfway in, like when she steals the doll and you're like, oh, what's going to happen with this doll? What does it mean? I don't get it fully.
Oh, I read the book and I loved the book. So maybe I understood it more, but I loved the movie. I loved The Lost Daughter.
Okay. Well, I guess this is just a me thing. Maybe I'm just in a bad mood.
You're gonna come back and say you loved Deep Water because we have such different be like, tastes.
You know what, finally an accurate portrayal of women, Deep Water.
I want true romance.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which is morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
So let's get into the real content we're here to talk about.
Yes. It's a bittersweet day.
It's our last episode talking about Love is Blind. Season 2. Season 3, we will be there! And God is real and God knows we will be covering the ultimatum.
Honestly, we should have been hosts for Love is Blind. I don't often say I should have had a job that I didn't get, but we should have been hosts for Love is Blind.
It would have made a little bit more sense, but we weren't. And I think that freedom allows us to comment a lot more because
yeah, that's true.
I actually think that hosts are supposed to be relatively objective and not choose favorites. And that is a direction that Nick and Vanessa Lachey did not follow at all. But we'll get to that later. So we're at the bachelor and bachelorette parties. And what in the hell do men do for fun? I'm shocked and like, I'm sorry, but like men hanging out is one of the worst things. It's just men hanging out is terrible. And
it's terrible.
They're in a stadium for no reason. It's just empty. Like they're just, I can't. They immediately start doing like something weird and ritualistic where they're like shaking back and forth and like walking through.
You're playing like Red Rover, Red happen? Rover.
Why does that happen? And like, I think this is why crimes happen. It's just like this weird thing that like when men are together, they don't know how to connect. So they start doing like some kind of weird ritual.
Yeah, they go on a bus for their bachelor party and they're just having way too much produced fun on this bus. Shake is so happy because, as he said in Mexico after meeting these people for the first time, these people are my best friends, which I think we all felt sad about. Yes, Devin's right. They get to the baseball field. They immediately start putting their arms over each other, going back and forth. It couldn't be more orchestrated. It is like Red Rover, Red Rover, send Shane over. And the guys run out. It's just the saddest thing I've ever seen. And
when Sal does the cartwheel, I was like, you would try to put like your own thing on this. Like, just run through the fucking ritual. It's already weird. Just do it. You don't have to do a weird cartwheel on top of it. And they're like, oh, ho,
and every guy's like, this is honestly the best thing ever. This is the best. This is unbelievable. I like when Shane says, I love it so much. I feel excited to escape from reality. You're like, what are you fully talking
this
about?
This is how you escape from reality, because my way of escaping from reality is literally hearing about my friends' relationships until 5 a.m. and eating food. Like, that is real fun. If that doesn't sound fun to you, goodbye.
Well, that's the thing that's so funny, too, is as we mentioned briefly on the last episode, they are all celebrating the bachelors and then all of their friends are cornering them individually saying, what are you doing? We think it's crazy. We don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what kind of celebration is this? The other thing about the bachelor party is that all the guys play baseball. I could not think of it. I honestly got anxious watching this because I thought, oh, my God, if someone invited me to a party like this, I simply could not come. I would be like, no, I'm not going to go play baseball.
No, I so couldn't go to a baseball game. I mean, I turned down going to the Super Bowl. I just know.
All right.
Sorry, that was a humble brag. You can call up Beth Jacobs and say that
it's happened. It's okay. It's okay. And so everyone hits a ball and we see, we haven't seen red flags from Shane in a second. We see another red flag from Shane. He can't hit the ball. That's fine. It's that afterwards he falls apart. And you think, how well did this show vet the psychological problems of its cast members?
Yep.
And he's like, I'm fucking humiliated. This sucks. This sucks.
I know. Him and his little capris were pretty upset about that.
And then he tries to calm himself down. He's like, but the thing is, Natalie's my best friend. I'm getting married to her. And I love it. And that is the thing. I'm literally so excited. Yeah, it's going to be great.
He is doing a lot of staring into space saying Natalie's his best friend. It's like someone told him that phrase. Like, I say your girlfriend's dad, your best friend.
Natalie's my best friend.
Meanwhile, his dad is like, my daughter is psychotic for doing this. And I hope she backs out. And he's like, I got to do it. Yeah, it is. You know, the baseline of this show, Married at First Sight and The Bachelor and all that stuff, the base material that these are born out of is the guarantee that a lot of people in the world have such a void inside their souls that they want to fast forward the phases of life as quickly as possible, no matter how many red flags there are.
You can bank on the fact that someone is like, yeah, I'm not better than that.
I want a new family and to start my own tomorrow. Yeah. I don't have to know the person. I just need like a warm body that's there that can procreate with me. And then I can post on Instagram that I have procreated.
It feels like you're inside my brain.
So that, I'm not saying it's not us. I'm saying like that is what these are all born out of. And it leads to people calling someone they met 3 weeks ago their best friend.
Yeah.
And staring into space and their eyes glazing over as they say, Natalie's my best friend. Natalie's my best friend. Natalie's my best friend.
That reminds me, on the bachelorette party, all the girls go on a cruise. It kind of does look like fun because everyone's talking shit about their fiance. I am uncomfortable by the fact that all these girls have to share their same like party. I would definitely want more attention on me. I wouldn't want it to be rationed out. Yeah. But you do hear someone, one of the girls says, well, I trust the process. And that made me think back to all the times on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, people saying, well, like, this process works. When really you're like, what process? They just, and Netflix producers just invented this process. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I know.
You trust Chris Harrison's process?
Please, like, forward me the evidence. It's like 3 in 7,500 people have fallen in love in The Bachelor and stayed together and had kids. And Love is Blind, I'm not sure. I think maybe there's one couple that stayed together from the previous season, maybe two.
I think there's also been like 12 couples out of like 25 seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette that have got stayed together. Like I maybe 5 or 6. There's not like that many. It's just it's a TV show. It's fine. We know what it is. We're willing to look past that. We love it. I do like on the Bachelorette boat how the women, as we talked about last episode, Deep D is expressing doubts. Danielle has a great exchange with her friends where they're like, you don't think you're worthy, but you're worthy. And she says, oh, no, you guys don't know how I've been, which I couldn't identify with more. And then her friend gives her a very cruel backhanded insult, which is, Danielle, if you're going to wait to be the best version of yourself to be in a relationship, then you're going to wait a long time. And again, I was like, the show did not vet Danielle well enough. She is, because then I started getting worried. I knew she was going to end up with Nick because I'd seen spoilers, but I was like, God, if she didn't, it reminds me of June Diane Raphael in Burning Love when she's pretending to be a bachelorette and she's saying like, my goal tonight is to get to know the guys and not go to any of my dark places.
Right. And once this process is over, like, it's nothing but dark places for most of these people. And I was really worried for Danielle's mental health if Nick did not make the decision to stay. And it did seem kind of up in the air because he was sweating so much. Someone could have said he just murdered someone and it would have made sense with how he looked.
In one of his one-on-one interviews, he goes, I think my biggest fear is, and he waits a beat, and I was fully expecting him to be like, Danielle. Danielle is one of my biggest fears.
I know. But he said, like, not being on the same page, right?
Yeah, something very therapy talk.
So are we ready to move to the actual weddings themselves?
I'm ready.
We've never been more ready. We start with Danielle and Nick, as we said. It's a lot of buildup. It's a lot of stress, especially for Danielle's mom. And she's watching from the sidelines and not at all for Nick's mom, who looks like she couldn't care less where she is and just wants to leave. But Nick says yes. Danielle says yes. They're going to be together. Huge sigh of relief. Let's all wipe our brows, especially to you, Nick, as we move on to the next.
Danielle couple. Literally says, like, I don't know. Like, I'm so excited, or this could be literally the worst day of my life.
Yeah, like, and she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do if he doesn't marry me. Like, if Nick says no, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's like, it never came into her head, do you want to say yes? It was just like, how do I stop him from saying no?
Well, like you said, we're all seeking to fill the void. We're all seeking to find some safety in an unsafe world. Afterwards, you really saw the clarity when she says, like, I'm a wife. I have a husband. I am someone's wife. And I thought, oh, right, that feeling, that security, mm-hmm. that sort of like, I'm not a mess. I'll show mom I don't have emotional problems.
Yep. And I do. I mean, what do you think for their future? I do think that, like, I think he's a good partner for her. And I think they had a genuine, real connection.
They seem happy.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know. Well, we'll talk about the reunion in a second. But when I saw her on the reunion, I was like, is she on my antipsychotics? Like, she's doing well. The dial was turned down a lot. And she seemed very confident. She seemed very relaxed. She seemed very close to him. And I thought, they're just something. I think they very much enjoy each other.
Yeah, totally. So Jared and Ayana, right? That was their wedding next?
Jared and Ayana, beautiful wedding. I just like this couple a lot because I think Ayana has inspired me with how well she communicates. Like, she tells him, like, you need to show me that you're going to prioritize me. I need reassurance. Mm-hmm. And I also identify with her jealousy, like when he's talking about her in the pod and he says, you made my heartstrings pull. And under her breath, she goes, well, I wasn't the only one. But yeah. He takes her on a date. He makes an effort. And it is, you know, like sometimes with guys, it's the bare minimum. But you can see the effort he's making.
Yeah.
And I think they're both really weird and funny in the same way. Like, they both think each other's jokes are hilarious. And that's
I love
really
when he's crying into his mom's arms and then pulls away and says, I'm fine, I'm a thug.
And she said the exact same thing.
And she's like, I am at my wedding when she's walking down the aisle. And she's like, I always see other people's weddings, but now it's mine. This is spooky. And I was like, I just love you.
I love her aside from when she said she looked small in her wedding dress. She's
Listen,
like, I'm so small.
That's our eating disorder. That's our eating disorder.
No, that's weird to say. I'm so small. That's why do you need to say that?
I don't know.
Okay. So... So let's move on to truly, I mean, I don't know
what
if you saw.
What we've all been waiting for.
I don't know if you saw, Carolina. I screenshotted every moment of this because it's my favorite, and I put it in the document because it's my favorite, one of my top three favorite reality TV moments of all time.
Incredible.
It changed my life. It's my therapist. It has become my therapist, this sequence of the episode. So we go to Shake and Deep D's wedding. She looks fucking stunning and could not be more calm. Like, I was like, something is coming. And I was starting to feel like I knew it was coming because she was so relaxed about it. Like, she was like, yeah, I don't know. You just got to find the right person, I guess. And I'm like, she knows something. Meanwhile, he is nervous talking about how even though he's an only child, today is not about him. Mm-hmm. And he has to think about, like, just, okay, goodbye. So they get to the point where the person who's officiating their wedding says, like, it's time for the decision. And, like, it's weird, but that's just a part of the weddings on this show is that they say, like, now it's time for your decision.
They have to be so awkward, yeah.
And I see in Shake's eyes that he's like, she's definitely going to say yes. Like, he has this assuredness to his face. And she literally smiles, a glowing smile, and says, like, you mean a lot to me and you're an important person in my life, but no, I cannot marry you. I deserve someone who knows for sure. So I'm choosing myself. And she walks away. As she's walking away, she says, he's not the one for me because if he was, he would make me feel like I was the one. And he never did that. Then they cut to this person who officiated their wedding could not look more uncomfortable and awkward for a beat.
The reactions were some of the best I've seen on reality TV in a really long time. When as soon as she says, I don't, one of Shake's friends' face falls into his hands.
Like he knew it was going to happen.
Amazing. Shake's friends begins to sob. Yes, I don't normally, we haven't talked about our personal lives in a while here, but after seeing screenshots of this on Twitter, I used this line on a guy because it just helped me so clearly see things. And I just said, I deserve someone who feels certain about me. And I feel like I said it to someone and myself at the same time. It was this kind of miracle feeling of clarity that Deep D really gave me and Deep D's parents really gave me.
Yeah.
And you realize you aren't asking a lot to be a priority.
It's so simple and it's so true. And then so then Shake starts trying to like be like, yeah, let's run the music, like celebration.
Oh, so painful.
And it's like, it doesn't matter. We don't care about you anymore. You are now a side character. Like, let's go back and see what the main character is doing. And we go to Deep D and her mom comes. This is one of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen on reality or regular TV. I was sobbing. I was fully sobbing. Deep D's mom finds her. She turns to her mom and says, I chose myself. Her mom says, I know. She's like holding her hands and says, I know. And she says, I'm so proud of you. And the mom says, I just want you to be happy. And she's like, I am happy. Like, I chose myself. Don't worry about anything. I'm happy. And her mom says, that's my brave. I'm getting emotional right now reading it. Her mom says, that's my brave girl, my sweetheart. And it's just like, I'm sobbing. And then meanwhile, Shake is back at the fucking place where he just got left behind. And he shows himself. So I think a lot of people were like, maybe making excuses for him or like feeling like, I don't know. But this is the moment where he really showed his true colors as absolute scum of the earth when he's like talking to all his friends who stayed behind at the party because he's like, let's celebrate. And he's saying like, she's going to definitely be my friend. And like part of me is upset, but it's mostly a positive thing. And she did her thing. So thank God. Thank God I didn't have to say anything.
Monster.
And to be very transparent, I was the one who was more on the fence. You know what I mean? It's not a fun thing to talk about right now, but if I would have said yes, she would have said yes.
Yeah.
And he said, that's why I feel amazing, because we got to avoid all that. And I was like, no, please be the one to reject me. Please. Like, I can handle it. I can take it. And it's just like, you are.
And then he says, I want to get back in my fitness routine.
Yeah, like that's what he's looking up, like looking forward to for
and
himself.
And then it's like, okay, so now I know you're fully full of shit.
Yeah. But Deep Dee's mom says some more beautiful things. She said that Deep Dee stuck up for herself. That's my daughter. I'm so proud of her. Obsessed. And then Deep Dee comes in with another life-changing sequence of lines that I will save on my phone forever. She says, I don't think he realizes what he just lost. And a little time from now, he's going to look back and realize he lost the best thing of his life. And when that day comes, I'll be long gone. He doesn't deserve me.
Don't you think Shake's mom, I'm not even kidding. I was fully expecting Shake's mom to follow her down the aisle to just like hug her.
And be like, I've chosen a team and it's yours.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm actually leaving Shake's dad now.
I'm leaving Shake's dad to just be a part of your life in any way that I can. Like, just platonic. Yeah. Like, can I move in as your neighbor? Can we hang? Like, I loved it so much. It was truly like, and also she looked so gorgeous. I was like, you look amazing. And he looks like shit. I'm so happy you waited for this day to like, because she never really spoke against him. That was what was so classy about it. She never spoke against him the whole time. He was talking shit about her. And she was like, okay, like, I'm trying. I guess he's not. And then she waited for this moment to absolutely show him up, make him like so uncomfortable, choose herself and be like, yeah, it's because you didn't deserve me. And then he felt so uncomfortable that he turned it around on her and started like trying to tear her down, which is exactly what narcissist incels do.
He was embarrassing her on this show, knowing that this footage was going to be aired. He was saying hurtful things that were embarrassing her.
Yeah.
When she just speaks her truth, it so puts the light on what kind of person he is, and it completely flips the script, and you can see his reaction in real time, realize how the script is getting flipped on him.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Like, this is the kind of person who's truly embarrassed all the time. And like you said, she didn't say, like, I know you've expressed doubts to me about being attracted to me and I don't deserve that or anything. All she said was knowing what she deserved.
Yep. It was fucking perfect. It was perfect.
It was a real beautiful moment.
And then we move on to Shane and Natalie. And like right out of the gate, Natalie is crying. And I'm like, wait, what did we deserve, Netflix, to deserve this level of quality drama on a reality show? Like, we're going right from this amazing triumph to this horrible drama. And it's perfectly orchestrated. And except I'm sad for Natalie. Natalie is crying. She says that last night her and Shane had the worst fight of their lives and he said some stuff that she can't get past. Now, the only things that will be revealed in this episode that he said are, I don't think we should get married and like, I hate you or something, like very childish.
You're the worst thing to ever happen to me.
Something else must have been said. That's all I'm going to say. Like, they're not showing everything he said, because
she was shaken.
He said, I know he said something that revealed something deep about his character that she couldn't move back from, and I don't know what it was, but maybe we'll find out someday, because I think an Us Weekly thing just came out that said like they're not on good terms anymore. Like, maybe she's gonna come forward with some stuff. Not that we deserve to know every detail about these people's lives, but that is kind of what they sign up for.
No, I need to know. And I was trying to find it online this morning, in fact.
So, yeah. So they're crying, but it's kind of like she's like still, it seems like she might still go through with it. He's like kind of joking about it to his friends. He's like, hey, yeah, we got in a fight last night. Yeah, I said, like, I don't know. Yeah, we got in a fight, of course. And I said that maybe we shouldn't get married, but. And he kind of gives the reason that, like, she's always criticizing him, which I guess I understand. But it just seems like a small thing communication-wise that could have been worked through.
It's true. It's true. He just seems emotionally unstable to me. And when she brings, I mean, it's just another example why maybe the process, quote unquote, doesn't work. Because she talks about how she brought up his drinking and he freaked out. And all of a sudden, the puzzle pieces start coming into place. Like, oh, yeah, he wanted unlimited. He wanted a fountain of old fashions at his wedding.
Oh, yeah, that. A fountain.
Maybe that was a red
of a cocktail.
When someone blows up when you mention they're drinking, that's usually a red flag.
With and tubes and whatnot. With tubes and
with
whatnot.
With all the tubes and whatnot. And you realize, yeah, that's a huge thing to consider before deciding to get married to someone. I think what she said that made me crystal clear on why she said no was she talks afterwards about how safe she felt with her dad when they were walking down the aisle. And how scared she was when she, how scared her body felt when she was suddenly in front of Shane.
Oh my God.
And it reminded me of our interview with that breakup coach when she was saying for advice for her relationships was feel how you feel in your body with someone.
Yeah.
So I completely understood why she said no. I would have said no. I mean, in most of these situations I would. But
yeah, so she leaves him at the aisle and then like he follow like she follows him somehow they end up back to like together again and he's really upset and then she said like well you said I was like the worst thing that ever happened to you and he was like yeah and like you are and she's like wait what like you wanted to get married but you think like it's not really making sense logically and then he kind of rants to the camera for a while of like I don't know what's going on. I don't know what just happened. I don't know what I could say about it. And it's definitely like one of the most confusing post-game interviews I've ever seen in my life. But I think Natalie was very composed. Clearly she did the right thing. And I don't even think we know the half of it. I don't even think she's revealed.
I know. There's so much we don't know. It's really frustrating. I have to start listening to like post Love is Blind interviews, you guys. I will keep you up to date with any information I find.
Please find out the truth because we do need to know.
Now, quickly before we get into the reunion,
yes.
I just want to talk about Sal and Mallory's wedding.
Okay.
It's just such baloney on Sal's part. Sal is constantly showering her with surprises and gifts. When we see her getting her makeup done, you can see she's so relaxed. She's like, yeah, I feel good. And Sal is all of a sudden expressing maybe there's a disconnect. And he says, like, he got her a mariachi band, blah, 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 blah. She walks down the aisle. She looks stunning. And he bursts into tears and says he can't marry her. Honestly, this whole time he hasn't been working for me. And I was kind of wondering why. Maybe it was my internalized, you know, sexism. Because I kind of thought he, like there were some things he was doing that were just too much. They made me uncomfortable. And his like weird calmness felt false to me. But anyway, he breaks into tears and he's like, I can't. And then she says like, okay, bye. And like walks down the aisle. And he apologizes to her family. And then when they meet up again, he has all this therapy language. Like, I just wanted to honor our boundaries today. And then he says something that drove me crazy where he said, and I just wanted to tell you here. I wanted to wait to tell you here. Which reminded me of The Wedding Singer, one of my favorite movies. And when Adam Sandler's fiance leaves him at the altar and then comes to his house that night and says, like, I just realized, like, I don't want to be married to a wedding singer. And he goes in that Adam Sandler way, well, this would have been great to know yesterday.
I quote that all the time. That's like one of my favorite. Even though I just shat on men who quote like comedy movies, I do quote
you
that.
You love
a lot.
Quoting Adam Sandler movies. I love that. I love that scene so much.
I have gone back and forth on Mal, as we all know, because
you mean Sal?
Mallory. Sorry, Mallory. Because she goes from like saying like I'm a guy's girl and like I watch sports, which is like that's really hard for me to come back from. But then like I kind of was on her side in their arguments. And in this moment I was like, wow, she is a much better person than me because she remained so composed. Like she was
so
like,
composed.
Okay, like maybe we can go on a date. I don't know. I would have been like, wait, what the fuck are you talking about? Why did you get
put me through this?
And he was getting her surprises up through the wedding. He's like,
How many ukulele shows did I have to watch?
She said that he said that as a surprise, he hired a mariachi band for, the wedding for Mallory because she loves that so much, which in retrospect is fucking sick. He's basically saying, oh, I hired a mariachi band for when I broke up with you.
Yes.
I wanted a mariachi band to be here.
A funny bit, but
for music to play as I was breaking up with you for no reason. And he doesn't really give a reason. And I don't understand. It's just because he's like incapable of like true connection and something was missing. Like, and she, I think, was like, wow, I'm really going to try this and I'm really going to be open-minded. And it sucks. But I will say she looked gorgeous and she's stunning.
Gorgeous. So. And that's a lot of what matters.
That's a lot of what matters in this life.
I want true romance.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to jump to the reunion. Very excited by this. Vanessa and Nick Lachey finally get a moment to be on screen for a little bit.
And oh boy, are they excited about it. The facial expressions and the fucking bodily movements that Vanessa puts herself through just to try to keep the camera on her. Like, she's going over the top, like flailing her arms. Like, Nick's like, welcome to season two. She flails her arms around, does the two sign with her hand. Like, she's like, camera on me, season two, we're on. She wants constant camera on her, to the point that we'll get to eventually. She makes it completely about her and starts talking about like her marriage all the time. Andy Cohen would never,
So we really
Andy
see
Cohen would never.
The strength of Andy Cohen here, because I was very excited for the reunion. I wasn't necessarily let down, but there could have been so much fruit out of it. And it really, it didn't deliver on everything I wanted to deliver on. Shake does dig himself constantly into a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. It's so bad. Shane, like, who has said crazy stuff, is literally covering his face. You're constantly seeing reactions to what Shake is saying. For instance, at one point he says getting married, finding a woman on this show was like, and getting married to one was like making a huge purchase.
Yep.
Which was very uncomfortable to listen to. Danielle is literally getting triggered by Shake talking, because obviously, like us, she's a former eating disorder person, and you can literally see her like bury herself into Nick's arms.
So the thing, my read on Shake is that he thinks that he can become like the Spencer Pratt of this universe. We all know Spencer Pratt, like, did, although his career is fading now, like, he built a lifelong career out of being the villain of The Hills. Like, he really was a side character, and he became so hateable that he built a whole career out of it. And he started like a crystal business and all this stuff. And he did an interview where he talked about like, yeah, I chose to play the villain. Like, that's what people wanted. That's what I gave them. The thing is, he really did it well. He's a really good villain. He's got the perfect combination of like a little bit unstable,
not afraid to let it all hang out, but also like knows when to be endearing a little bit, knows when to charm, is a fucking weirdo, loves hummingbirds for some reason. Shake doesn't have any of that, but he's trying to be like, I don't give a fuck, I tell the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to be real. And it's like, you're just not even charismatic and you just suck and are embarrassing and you're just not smart or cool enough to like be what you think you are.
I love when Ayana says very calmly, my advice, Shake, is that you go to a psychologist to learn how to date as a narcissist.
Yeah.
Another great moment, which was when I thought maybe Nick Lachey is not as bad of a host as I thought, was when Shake says the fucking stupid argument of like, we're animals, you guys, okay? And Nick says, no, you treat animals, we're human beings. Vanessa has to make it bad by being like, that's my man, ladies.
No, I know. And he was saying like, and I would never let you like treat me. And then Shake's like, the vet community is gonna like come for you. And it's like,
wait, what vet community? Like, I mean, I'm sorry, I know there is a vet community. I don't want the vet community to come after me, but like the vet / DJ community, like what kind of message board are you on?
I know. And also, can we talk about the exchange between Shake and Vanessa Lachey, where she repeatedly says dismangled and then he says he has feelings for her?
Okay, this is one thing. I do think it was sweet what she said. What are you going to do if a woman gains weight during pregnancy? What are you going to do if there's a terrible accident? Then she says, what are you going to do if a woman loses all of her hair, her arms, and her legs? Which I was like, whoa, what happened? I was with you up till then. What happened? And she does say, but I know if I was dismangled, this man.
She goes, knock on fucking wood. If I was dismangled, knock on fucking wood,
this man would be with me.
I know he will because he loves me for me. So the problem I have, Shake, is that you sat there and berated every single one of these women and then went through the process with this beautiful soul over here. She is beautiful.
Natalie fucking says to Deep Sea, which I was like, this would set me off for a few weeks, is, and she's even more beautiful on the inside than she is on the outside.
I know. And it's like, shut up. It's not about that.
You. I want the opposite.
Yeah, I want the opposite. And she's like, because you wanted to find someone you wanted to fuck, not fall in love with. It's like, okay, Vanessa,
what's happening?
Like, you're bringing the drama, but like, that's not your job. Like, she thinks she's one of the housewives and she's actually Andy. Like, Andy allows other people to be that way.
Right.
But she was like, I'm going to make myself the star of the show. And then Shake ends up saying that, like, he thought that Vanessa was like his most type on the show or something. And it's
I'm actually not attracted to anyone here. The only person I'm attracted to is Vanessa.
It's just not, it's just bad. And then,
not good luck.
Yeah, it just also is like, it's just not about you. And
can you imagine being Shake's parents, his poor mom?
I can't imagine being his parents or, no offense, Vanessa's parents, because
I'm sure they're really proud of
knock
her.
On fucking wood, if I'm dismangled, this man is going to stand by my side. Oh my God. So that's them. I have to say, Shake even makes Shayna look good because Shayna was like whispering to Deep D saying like, just like let him keep talking. He's going to make him like, sometimes Shayna has her moments of being like a girl's girl on the couch hanging with the girls. And it makes me think like, could she be my friend? And then I remember that she doesn't believe in evolution.
Evolution, think, yeah. It's okay. Awkward.
But when they conflict. Are, it's an awkward conflict, but when they're talking to Shayna and this is the pan and zoom in heard around the world. They pan and zoom into Kyle, who has pierced not only his ear. So
frustrating.
Not only his ear is now pierced, but he's pierced his nose. He's decided to become a completely different person. It could not be more the stereotype of like going through a breakup. And the fact that like, I was like, could you just, again, Andy would have mentioned this. Like Nick and Vanessa didn't even mention like, oh, yes. So by the way, you have multiple piercings on your face
Sal,
now.
You have a goatee now. Yes, we need
How
to-
did that come to be?
Like, absolutely.
That was so shocking. And I do feel like I wanted to be on Kyle's side, but I don't think he's had like any growth from the situation. Like he didn't take enough accountability of the fact that like this person told me they don't believe in science and likely that they don't care about anything besides Christian white people, and you still wanted to move in with them. And then yet he wants to put everything on Shayna, and it's like, yes, she's a bad person, but like you also wanted to be with a bad person. And right, as someone right. who's wanted to be with bad people in the past, like
I have a role in that too.
Absolutely. I completely identify. I thought Shayna did an okay job for someone who's definitely a Republican and doesn't believe in evolution. She did. She at least owned some of her stuff and she knew how she looked. You can tell there was an air of like, I need to rehab this image.
Yes.
And Shake just dug himself deeper. But
he did.
My favorite line is probably Nick Lachey talking to Sal and saying, musician to musician.
Oh, my God. Sal can fuck off in this episode. I'm sorry. Like, I can't. Like, he's so attention seeking. He says some weird thing. I thought Mallory was very composed again. Like, she was just like, yeah, like, I don't know what to tell you. I was in a weird position. Two different people I had feelings for were at the same barbecue, and I had just met both. Like, it is a weird situation. None of us know how we would act in that position. And then Sal starts saying that, like, once they hung out after the show filmed, he felt like she didn't hear him enough when he didn't. Again, did you ask her about herself? Like, we didn't learn anything about her from your conversations with her. So that's really, and she takes it. She's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry you felt that way. How is this person so composed?
I'm so sick of him.
I do have to say that the real highlight of the reunion was when we learned that a new show was coming called The Ultimatum. It was like a little bit more lackluster than I thought. We didn't get any answers from Shane and Natalie. That's really who I wanted answers from because I was like, what was this fight? We didn't really get answers. Shane said that he's worried about Natalie making him look like a bad person. Again, feeding into my theory that he said something much more disturbing than we know. And then Shane and Shayna disputed rumors that they're anything beyond just friends right now. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I will say, again, I looked at Shane's Instagram recently. He posted a selfie and said, I bet you think about me in the caption, quoting Taylor Swift. Like, I do like that move. It's a move that I like. But if he's friends with Shayna, I don't trust that. I don't believe in that. And I'm nervous. And also, I stand with Natalie no matter what. And apparently, they are not on good terms anymore.
I have to know everything.
Oh, and then Kyle said that he wished he had gotten engaged to Deep D, which was interesting.
That was interesting. I just feel like we didn't get to know a lot about Deep D. The only thing we know about Kyle is that he's an atheist and he's willing to negotiate with terrorists because he was okay with someone looking up at him and saying, do you like to be an American? And not saying, I need to leave. I need to get out of here.
I know. I don't think that Kyle deserves Deep D either. I think we need like a season of The Bachelorette and Deep D is The Bachelorette.
I am completely with that. Well, this is what I was thinking. I thought in Love is Blind season 3, are they going to bring some OGs back?
That would be good.
That would be fun. Mix it up a little bit. Just like The Bachelor. You keep, you know, we have built-in audiences. I found out Deep D's on a reality show. I want to know more about her. That family basically raised me.
Yeah, we have to make it like The Bachelor in Paradise where it's like you got repeat offenders who will just keep coming back to the island.
If you hear Shane's voice through the walls
and they're like, we know who's here.
Get out.
Well, it's been a really long, long journey.
It's been a beautiful journey. I've learned so much. I'm better for it, which you can't always say with reality TV shows.
Let's tune in to The Ultimatum.
As soon as humanly possible.
Wait, when does it premiere? Let's see. Ultimatum. April 6th.
See you soon.
The first 8 episodes will premiere April 6th. So
Devin is salivating.
It's so fucking close and I can't wait. Until then, love is still blind.
Team Deep D.
Team Deep D. Love you all.
All I ever wanted was a little. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true
coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.